Let's do a very short study tonight. Parshat Ki Tavoh. Let's begin our Torah study and pray together. In fact, today, why don't we do something? I'm going to call out the Hebrew and you repeat after me, because sometimes I feel like I'm the only one praying the Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam Asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. And you can repeat in English. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Engross yourself now. To really put yourself into the words of Torah. That's one of the reasons why we encourage you to read in advance and then to read along with us, to bring your Bibles when you come to Shabbat services. This week's Torah portion, Ki Tavoh, is speaking about when you come into the land. Israel's been on a journey some 40 years, the journey will take them, and there comes a point when that journey comes to an end and they actually come into the land that's promised. Moses is bringing a word. You need to be ready. You need to be ready for that day, because the journey is not something that just keeps going and keeps going. The journey brings you to a place that God's calling you to, that he wants you to enter into. There are some people who are perpetual students. They never seem to graduate. They never fulfill their educational requirements because they're not ready to complete the journey of that part of their education and get on with the next thing. There are people in life who always have dreams and they always have ideas, but they never implement them and they never fulfill them. They never accomplish them. And they get confused with the idea of the journey and even the idea of the destination, the idea of the goal, with the goal itself, getting somewhere. It's important to keep the destination in mind. The journey of faith leads us somewhere, and the destination is connected to God's promises to you. We learn from what Israel is instructed and what Israel experiences. We learn principles of life, how to live our life of faith. There is coming a day when you'll come into the place that the Lord has promised to give you. Ki Tavoh, when you come in. Deuteronomy 26, verse 1 says this, "And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it, and you dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you." Who's giving you the land? The Lord your God. But what are you to take? Produce. First fruits. Produce. Anybody here do gardening? If you've got a garden, if you've had a garden this summer, can you raise your hand, anyone here? Man. Do you all know where food comes from? It comes from Publix and Winn-Dixie. But do you know where they get it? It actually grows somewhere in the dirt, outdoors generally, believe it or not. The produce of the ground. You see, this should be clear to you. The produce of the ground. Oh, yeah. You know, tomatoes don't grow in a plastic thing. They grow on vines. Of course, there are some tomatoes that taste like plastic these days. You take some of the first of the produce of the ground, and you bring from your land. From whose land? your land. You see, the assumption is that all these folks are involved in feeding themselves now. They will have spent 40 years eating manna. Can you imagine that? What's for breakfast? Manna. What's for dinner? Manna. Oh man, it's Shabbat. What are we having? Manna. Maybe this is why the Jewish people are so obsessed with food. 40 years eating the same thing day after day, over and over again. But here's the Lord giving instruction through Moses. There's coming a time the manna ends. It will cease. And this is teaching us something I think that's very, very important, that there can be supernatural provision during certain periods of our life that is meant to sustain us when we can't sustain ourselves. And then there becomes another kind of provision that's a result of hard work and effective work as well. Some of you have difficult jobs. Bill Jones has a difficult job. He's on his feet hours. How many hours a day? How many? 11 today. As a pharmacist at Costco. And if you've ever been to Costco, you know they work those people hard. And if you don't mind me asking, how many prescriptions did you guys have to process? Exactly. So many they couldn't even keep count. Some of you have very demanding jobs, very demanding work, and you know that God gives you strength and he gives you favor and he puts you in a position where you can do the work, but you still have to do it. He's not going to do it instead of you. There are times when God wants to provide for us miraculously, and there are other times when we become responsible for taking care of what he's given us, the opportunities, the resources. This is one of those times. Moses is saying, you've gotten used. You've gotten used to having the miraculous provision. Now you need to prepare for a different kind of provision where you're working hard. Some people don't make the change, and you know what happens? They're always running out of money. They're always running out of resources, and they're always praying, oh God, give me a breakthrough, because I spent all my money already. And we have to learn how to be faithful with our resources. We have to learn how to take care of them. And we have to possess the land that God gives us and dwell in it. So we take some of the first of the produce of the ground and we bring it from your land that the Lord your God is giving you. You put it in a basket. You go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And there you go to the one who's the priest in those days, and you say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I've come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. You see, this is a proclamation of the faithfulness of God. And Israel was learning to do this, and you and I need to learn to do something like this. I'm not talking right now about first fruit offerings. I'm talking about a lifestyle of worship where we commemorate what God has done, when he brings us into a place, when he takes us through a season, when he moves us from one period of life to another period, when he moves us from one place where he wants us to live to another place where he wants us to live. We're to celebrate the Lord and commemorate his goodness. We're to declare, thank you, Lord, you did it. You promised us, and then you did it. You fulfilled it. And you break out of that isolation as an independent individual. You join yourself with the faithful of God. You do it and others do it. I can tell you this, if you build relationships with people who love God and serve him and obey him and are dedicated to worshiping him, you'll be more obedient. You'll be more faithful. If you join together and build strong relationships with people who pray, you'll pray more. If you build relationships with people who study the Word of God and love the Word of God, you'll study more and you'll love more. If you hang out with people who work hard, you'll work hard. If you hang out with people who get good educations, you'll get a good education. You'll catch it. It'll have an effect on you. One of the reasons we're called to be a people that is a community is so that we can strengthen each other and we can go through this life together. Let's go down to Deuteronomy 26, verse 10. You set it before the Lord your God, and you worship before the Lord your God, and so you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you, your house, you, and the Levite, and the stranger who is among you. You see, we come into the land, we work, we become responsible. The provision changes. The provision of those now is for those who are faithful to work and to take care of the resources that has been given to them. The provision's not miraculous, but it will be a result of coming into the place where God has given us. What's the miracle now? God has brought us into a place. What's the miracle? He made a promise and then he fulfilled it. Some of you have promises in your life and you're waiting for them to be fulfilled. And I want to encourage you, as you come into the place where God is promising you, pay attention to him. What does he want you to do once you enter that place? That's not the end, that's the new beginning. Israel had to take care of the land. The land did not take care of itself. Hard work, gardening, farming, agriculture. You know, some of the hardest working people in America are farmers. But we learned something else, that Israel is to be a worshiping community and a grateful community. So you and I need to learn from that. We're to be a worshiping people and a grateful people. It says, you and your house. You and your house. That's a vision for your whole family. How many of you would be glad if your whole family was serving the Lord? Not just independent individuals. Oh, here in America, we're so independent. We've got the Declaration of Independence. Sometimes I think it's not the Pledge of Allegiance that Americans take, it's the Pledge of Independence. Sometimes it seems like we, even our theology and our understanding of the body of Messiah is based on independent individuals. We forget something, that God has called us to be a mishpacha, to be a family. He's called generations to be together. Why is it important to train up our children? Because they have a stake in the future. They carry the future. You and I have a responsibility to give to them everything we can that we get from God so that they can go even further than we did. We'll never complete everything that's in front of us. Some of the things will require subsequent generations. You know, there are people who went before you who made a way for you to do what you're doing right now. Generations together, communities. It's what it's talking about. And it says, you and the Levites. Now, I happen to be a Levite. So, you and me. This is giving us a picture that we need to be connected to the spiritual community and the spiritual leadership of the community. It's not just you and the Lord. You might say, well, it's just me and Jesus. It's just me and Yeshua. It's not. It's not just you and the Lord. Do you remember when God was fellowshipping with Adam and he said, it's not good for man to be alone? And ask yourself this question, was man really alone? No, because God was with him, right? And what God is really saying, it's not good for man alone to be with me alone. He had a picture. And you know why God has that picture? He's a father. It It comes out of his very nature. Everything you and I know about fatherhood is a reflection of the nature and the character of God. So God said to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. He brought him dogs, horses. What's your favorite animal? Horsey? Doggy? Do you have favorite animals? Any? So there are times when we try to find companionship, you know, through animals. That's okay, but that's not enough. And thus, God created woman out of man. It's not just you and the Lord. It's you and the people of God together. We, being many, are one body in Messiah. And we're not called to be by ourselves. Can you imagine if the only part of the body that existed was the nose? How unattractive it would be. Just think about it. What if you were sitting next to a nose? It sounds silly, doesn't it? It's so obvious, though. It's not just a nose. Or imagine the woman you've got your arm around is just an eyeball. Or a big ear. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? And yet many of us act like one part is everything. But Paul grasps something. All these parts fit together. And they form something together, which is why we call it the body of Messiah. Because we form something complex together. It's not just broken down pieces. Now, one more thing it says here. The stranger. You, your house, the Levites, and the stranger. Now, here is a prophetic picture that the Jewish people are not complete unto ourselves. The Jewish people can only find completion when we have a view that reflects God's view. For God so loved the world, right? That he sent his one and only Son. God's love is bigger than his love for the Jewish people. So the scripture is not, for God so loved the Jewish people that he sent his only Son. For God so loved the world. And some people would say, oh, well, that's New Testament. But I'm seeing a picture here from Moses. Do you see it? That Moses is saying, do you understand that in your community will be strangers? And it doesn't mean strange people, though they will be in your community. But what it means is people who are Gerim, people who are foreign born, but they come into a land and they have to, and they find their home in this foreign place. It can mean immigrants. But it's a prophetic picture that the Jewish people find completion not when we are isolated by ourselves, but when we are welcoming as well to those who would join themselves to our God and to our people. The stranger, it's a prophetic picture that people of other nations will actually relocate from their own communities and places in order to be with the Jewish people. And it's a prophetic picture, I think, that speaks to the Messianic movement and to many of us today. You see, in our congregation, in every Messianic congregation, in fact, in Jewish communities all over the world, are families that blend together two different sides, two different heritages. One side from the Jewish family and one side from the family that isn't Jewish. And together they form a Jewish family anyway, even though it has these two parts. And it's not just families, it's congregations. You see, you can have Jews who are 100% Jewish. I'm 100% Jewish. Except. My grandfather on my mother on my mother's side, her dad, he was Jewish, but he had sort of Oriental eyes, just a little bit. Nothing else was Oriental. And when we were in Budapest once, I met a Jewish woman who was secretary to the president of Hungary, and she had these same eyes. And I knew what my grandfather said about those eyes. And so I said, "What about these eyes?" And she said, "Oh, that's when the Huns came in. You know, and forced themselves upon our women." But a Jewish principle developed that even if a Jewish woman had been raped, her children were counted as Jews. And it was a way of redeeming even the worst of situations. So my grandfather used to say, "Well, this is when the Huns came." So I'm sure I got a little Hun in me. But other than that, we're Jewish, okay? Don't know who those Huns were. But you'll have examples of people who are 100% Jewish, and then you have people who are 100% not Jewish, and we're in the same congregation. We're called to be in a community together. And the question is, who's better? And the answer is, there's no way of knowing based on whether they're Jewish or not Jewish, who's better. Because that doesn't define who's better, who is loved by God. It's important to understand that our families may be blended and our congregations are definitely blended. And this is what we have to walk out that Moses was talking about. We have to walk this out. And we walk it out by celebrating the diversity that we have in our midst and recognizing that in this big Jewish family that serves the Lord, there are all kinds of people. And you, dear friends, you may think you can guess who's Jewish and who's not. I don't guess. I ask. And only because I think it's interesting to find out. And I've had the occasion, as has my wife over the years, we see someone who says, "Well, I'm not Jewish." And we say, "Oh, really?" And then we ask a question like, "What about your grandparents?" "Well, my grandfather was Jewish." "And what about your mother?" "Yeah, well, my mother was Jewish." "And what about you?" "No, I'm not Jewish." So there are people who don't recognize themselves even. And sometimes we need to encourage them. Not to make up something. And, you know, if you're not Jewish, you're not Jewish. There's nothing superior or inferior about your nationality. Because in God's eyes, all the nations are meant to come together under his authority. Well, I want to stop. You want to stop. So tomorrow, I think we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Because you can't understand the Haftorah, arise and shine, unless you understand the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to look far. All you have to do is look at the previous chapter. So if you read chapter 60 of Isaiah, good for you. But you won't understand verse 1 unless you read the previous verses in the chapter before it, in Isaiah 59, which talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon you. If you really want to shine, friends, you need the Holy Spirit. Well, we're going to stop right now. This has been a wonderful evening of worship and a good time to study. I encourage you to be faithful to God, to spend time seeking the Lord, listening, studying. Take your Bibles with you when you're traveling. Carry an electronic Bible with you wherever you go. Always have an opportunity to search the Word of God and make sure that you take time to pray. Don't forget this. Even if you pray one sentence, 1 minute, it makes a difference in your life. So let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? You don't have to stand by yourself. If you're by yourself, tell your feet to move. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichudnecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Amen.